It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great and glorious day every time we have a chance to come together to study the Word of God. We're in John chapter 7, and we're going to continue in John chapter 7, beginning with verse 46 down through verse 53. Then we're also going to take the 8th chapter and read down to where we can finish at verse 11. And so John chapter 7, verse 46 is where we'll begin. And so while you're opening your Bibles and finding that, because I want you to follow along with me, as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Now we get right to the study. I love to spend the time in the Word of God, proclaiming the Word of God, that we may know and grow in the Lord Jesus. So now if we begin to read John chapter 7, verse 46, the officer said, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this man, who knoweth not the law, are cursed." Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know how he doeth, and know what he doeth?" And they answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house. Now Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those of thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she says, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Let's begin with a word of prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come proclaim the Word and listen to the Word and learn from you, Lord Jesus. So help us, guide and lead us by your sweet Spirit, that we may know your perfect will. Help us to stay in the truth, Lord, and not go off to the left or to the right, but we stay right on the straight and narrow line following after you, Lord. Please help us to walk closely to you. Help us to confess our sin before you, that our fellowship may continue. Father, help us to walk the walk we should be walking. Father, we know first of all we must come to salvation and know you as our Savior, Lord. And so please that we confess our sin and come, and it's not just in our head, Lord, but it's in our heart. We must trust in you. And that's a one-time thing, Lord. We know we just come to you once for salvation. Oh yes, we come repeatedly to visit, to fellowship, when we miss you and do something that's contrary to your word, that we come and confess it before you, Lord. Please give us sweet fellowship. Bring those that are lost unto you for salvation today. It's going to be a wonderful day, Lord. Every day it is that we spend with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we finish the 7th chapter there, we have spent some time last time we were together with the result of those that listened. He that believeth on me, verse 38 tells us, And because of the voice and the words of Jesus, many people, therefore, when they had heard this saying of a truth, this is the prophet. Then we find in verse 41, others said, this is the Christ. And then some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? There are always a group. There's always someone that questions the truth and questions what's going on. And then it continues, the statement was made, hath not the scripture that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was. If you remember, we went back into the Old Testament and looked at some verses of scripture concerning that, concerning that not only of Bethlehem, but also of David as well. And so as we looked at those verses of scripture, finding that they were true and right, we came to the place where the chief priests and the Pharisees was inquiring of the officers, why have you not arrested this man? Jesus is getting too much attention, and they want him brought before them. But the officers said, you know, we've been listening to him, and we have never heard a man speak like this. And yes, the words that Jesus would speak would be pure, would be so powerful, that even the lost, even these officers, being lost, they were still taken to listen to the words and could not believe how they were, what they were hearing, and the wonderful words they were hearing. They just could not, they couldn't bring themselves to bring this man in at this time, because when they got close to him and they began to listen, they just had a little problem with that. We know that they were anxious. The chief priests and the Pharisees were very anxious to get this taken care of, because Jesus probably wouldn't be in Jerusalem much longer because the feast was over. And so they were very concerned that this would be taking place, that they would take care of it quickly. Then we come to verse 47. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? The Pharisees, officers, the Pharisees, the chief priests, all these people are involved in trying to put Jesus to death and put an end to all this. But they were having problems there, and they even got to kind of fighting amongst themselves. Are you being taken in by this man? Are you beginning to believe this man? And then verse 45 or 48, have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Is there anybody here that's believed on the Lord Jesus? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Just foolish people. Just folks that have not been taught the law. And isn't that so sad, because it started out to be the very law that was presented from the Lord unto Moses and handed down to the Israelites. And it came directly from God. And yet because of their ignorance and because of them changing it so much and going from the word to tradition, that they have lost the power. They have lost what was right and what was wrong. And it said the only foolish people, only ignorant people. Well, sad today, some of that a little bit is still true. You take someone that is so smart. They are so smart that they have to figure everything out. Well, the Lord Jesus says, come to me by faith. Believe in me. Confess your sin and come unto me. Now, sometimes we get so smart that we think we can take care of our own sin. We can take care of our own problem, and we don't need Jesus. And unless I can figure it out, unless I can totally and completely understand it, I don't believe that I'll believe it. And so in turn, sometimes the very smart, but the very foolish, those that are unlearned, can do the same thing. They can decide that I just don't believe it, because that's all it comes to is by faith. So the very smart can be saved. The very ignorant can be saved. Those that have no education, that the world would call ignorant, would call dumb. Those people, all of us, everywhere between, has an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus if they'll just come by faith and not reject. But here the question come, you know, are you beginning to believe it? And then they said, you know, none of us believe it. And if you do, you're unlearned, because you do not know what the word says. And that's what he's trying to say. Now, we've come up with a man here that maybe will differ with that. It's a name that we have heard just a few times, but if you go back into John chapter 3, you'll find this man's name. This man is Nicodemus. Nicodemus said unto them, and then it makes a little note there, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of the 12. Jesus, this Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night, he asked a question. Now, he is amongst these because Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Remember, he came to Jesus by night, and do you remember the words that Jesus told him? He says, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus is kind of a secret believer, a quiet believer. He's still among the Pharisees. He's still among these rulers, but he knows better. A lot of times we'll do the same thing right after we're saved. We'll stay within the church that we're in for a period of time, just waiting, I guess, upon the Holy Spirit to grow us, to show us what's right and what's wrong, and then we find that we will leave that church or that group to go into a body of believers that does proclaim the truth, does preach salvation, and does preach that Jesus saves, and it's Jesus alone. No other works are involved in it. But Nicodemus is really no different than what we are. He kind of snuck around by night to come to Jesus to begin with, and now he's still kind of sneaking around with his new testimony and his new witness. If you've just been saved, you may be doing the same thing. You may be a kind of a secret or a hidden Christian. You don't know, you know, in some of the churches that you could be a member of, they do not want you to come by faith to Jesus. Because when you do and you begin to listen to the Holy Spirit and His direction, it's not going to be long that you'll be out of there. You're going to leave there. And so I hope that you listen to the Holy Spirit and be obedient. Nicodemus here, even though he was kind of a silent one and he was still among them, he has a question. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him? Nicodemus had heard him, didn't he? Nicodemus had listened. Jesus told him, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus had some questions, but Nicodemus listened. It's important that we listen today. It's important that you listen today to the Word of God. This man says, Nicodemus said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Everything you're going by is from a distance. It's hearsay. Have you actually went and talked to Jesus and asked him some questions? The only thing the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests have been busy doing, and that is condemning. They know it's not the Christ. And so they know it's not the Savior. They know he's not the Messiah because he's not coming as a king. And that's who they were looking for or what they were looking for. And Nicodemus asked, he said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him? You are not giving Jesus a fair trial. You want him to be arrested, and yet you don't know what you're talking about. And until you listen to him, now these officers, they'd got close enough that they were beginning to listen, weren't they? Never a man spake like this man, verse 46 said. Well, Nicodemus got close enough to Jesus too, didn't he? It's important that you get close to Jesus and you listen to the words and stop listening to sometimes the words of your religion, but listen to the words of Jesus, those sweet words that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And please that you'll come by faith and believe in him today. The question come, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, look how they came right back. Art thou also of Galilee? Who are you? Nicodemus, you've been among us. What's the matter with you? Will you search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. What did we read? We read the Old Testament that said exactly where he would come from, where the Lord Jesus would come from. And at this, the day kind of come to an end, and every man went into his own house. Isn't it something that the Lord Jesus has no house, has no home? Jesus went up into the Mount Olives. That's where he spent the night. Now, whether he spent the night there in prayer, in rest, we don't know. It doesn't say. But we find him up there, and I'm sure that part of that time it was in prayer and fellowship with his Father. Out of all that was going on, so many things had taken place, and each time that he stands before these people and proclaims the truth, some come and believe, and some leave in disbelief, and then come with a heart of desiring to put it to an end, to put him to death. Well, this night, as the day come to a close, every man went into his own house, according to verse 53. Now, the next verse is chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. But early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. What a wonderful picture. Some are still listening, aren't they? As the officers could never imagine, never a man spake like this man. Well, there was an awful lot of people that were following. We have the Jews, we have the religious leaders within the Jews, we have the common people within the Jews, we have all kinds of people here that have come. Some possibly, not here probably, because we're in the temple, but through the time why even Gentiles would hear Jesus speak and preach. And so, yes, he's coming to call his own, but also us Gentiles would have an opportunity as Jesus was here upon earth. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down, and he taught them. Again, what a wonderful picture. Now, keep that in your mind, because the next event takes place, kind of disrupts everything. And so please keep in mind this picture of the Lord Jesus coming and entering into the temple, and these people all coming around and listening to as Jesus would speak so clearly his word, and for folks to know that he was God. All the miracles that were performed, the dead that were raised from the grave and brought to life again. All this was done to show that he is God, that he is the Lord Jesus. Now we have him back teaching in the temple. He went out for the evening. He came back then into the temple that next morning and was teaching. Here's this beautiful scene. Everyone seated, quiet. I believe that you could have heard a pin drop. Everyone, their eyes centered upon the Lord Jesus, listening and hanging on to every word that he spoke. What a wonderful picture. And as we come into the house of God and we have the leadership and the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, that we come into his house on the times that you have services, whether it be Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever you come together and you proclaim the word, that you will listen so carefully and so clearly. And as you are, that again, you could just hear a pin drop, because everyone is waiting to hear the word of God, anxiously listening. These folks were. However, the scribes and the Pharisees should have been there. They should have been in the temple. They should have been the scribes, as they were those responsible for writing of the word as far as the copying of the scripture. All were very religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. But instead of being in the temple early in the morning to spend time with their God, instead of that, they were out doing something that was going to bring dishonor unto the Lord, or at least they were trying to do that anyway. The scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act. That wasn't the time or wasn't the place for the scribes and the Pharisees to bring this woman forward. The proclaiming of his word as Jesus spoke. The joy of listening to that sweet, precious word. And all of a sudden, outside, why, you hear a little noise. And it's not too long that noise is moved from outside to the inside. And here's all these people just surrounding the Lord Jesus, with their eyes set upon Jesus, listening to every word that he speaks. And all of a sudden, here comes this commotion to disrupt this wonderful time, this time to spend. How many folks would have been saved if we could have just waited just a little bit longer? But the scribes and Pharisees couldn't wait any longer. because they have to destroy everything that Jesus does. And sad to say, many of our religions today are set out to do the same thing. They're set out to destroy instead of to build up the Lord Jesus. They set out to glorify themselves and their pocketbooks, to fill their pocketbooks, rather than to proclaim the truth, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, and lift the Lord Jesus up. These scribes and Pharisees were just like many religious leaders we have today, that they are not desiring that folks be saved. They're desiring that folks will walk away from the Lord Jesus and come into their religion. That's what they want. They do not want a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, nor do they want anyone else to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. They brought this woman in, and I'm sure that she was all messed up. You can kind of picture maybe what she looks like, whether she was half-dressed and her hair all messed up, and she kind of, they come kind of dragging her in and throwing her at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Now, what does it tell us that Jesus was doing here? Early in the morning, he came again unto the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So now, whether all the people were sitting down or they were standing, and Jesus was just seated in the center of all this. But here comes the scribes and the Pharisees, and they throw this woman to the ground and to the floor of the temple, probably right at the feet of the Lord Jesus. They didn't care. They didn't care that the Word of God was proclaimed. They didn't care that maybe most, if not all, those people would have been saved if they would have stayed away, because they wanted the opposite. They wanted people to stay and follow them, not follow Jesus. We need to look to see what drives us and what controls us. Are we interested in following the Lord Jesus, or are we interested in people following us? And so do we develop and establish some sort of a program that would do that, that would bring people to us and not to the Lord Jesus, that we may become more popular, politically strong, more wealthy, whatever the reason or excuse you might use, it's wrong, because we should always bring people to Jesus and not direct them to ourselves or to a program that we have. They had a question. It was very clear. They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman is taken in adultery in the very act. They caught her at the very time. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Jesus was already teaching his truth. They didn't care about the conviction and the penalty of this sin for this woman, and it was a sin that this woman was involved in. However, that wasn't their purpose, to right the wrong that this woman was doing. Their purpose was to catch Jesus. They were trying to somehow or other find some place that they could get him to make a mistake, that the people would see that this man, that this Jesus is just another man. He is not God. That was their purpose. They wanted to know, if you say you're of God and God got his word, Moses got his word from you, Moses' law says that such should be stoned. Now what do you say? Sure enough, put Jesus right on the spot, didn't it? Put Jesus right on the spot. Let's go back and see what Leviticus 20:10 says before we begin to decide ourselves what's right or wrong here. We should go ahead and look to see what the Scripture says. Leviticus chapter 20, and we're going to look at the 10th verse. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Okay, let's look now to see what they had to say about it. Caught in the very act, so there must not have been much question of what was going on. The law of Moses commands us that such should be stoned, should be put to death. Well, it looks like they're right. Now, what's the Lord Jesus? What's his answer going to be? To begin with, we need to understand that the Lord Jesus totally and completely understands the thoughts, not just the words that are stated, not just the actions that are done, but he knows our very thoughts and our very heart. So nothing is hidden from the Lord. Question that needs to be lifted up here and brought to a point, and that is, where's the man? Did you not read with me in Leviticus 20:10? The adulterer and the adulteress both be put to death? Where's the man? If they were in such a desire to clean the community up and rid the community of such a sin as this, where's the man? Because you see, both of them should have been brought forward. If they caught the one, they could surely have caught the other. But where's the man? They didn't care at all. They were still trying to get Jesus, and Jesus knew that. Look what Jesus begins to do. This they said, tempting him, verse 6, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Began to write on the ground. Seemed to have ignored him almost. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 13. We love the Word of God. We love looking to the Word of God. And you know, that's the only source we have. Yes, we sin. This woman has committed sin, and Jesus is not denying that. But let's look to see some things that are said here in the Scripture. Jeremiah 17, 13. Jeremiah 17, 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Remember what we had back in the verse of Scripture? Trying to lay my eyes on it here very quickly. Verse 38, chapter 7, verse 38, He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. What did 13 say? The fountain of living waters. Oh, what we have in common with the Lord Jesus when we come by faith. We have a little problem here. The problem is, number one, the man's missing. The next thing is, who is doing the judging here? The woman, she is not a believer. So she is lost, it says here. Forsake thee shall all that forsake thee. This woman has forsaken the Lord Jesus. But so has all the scribes and Pharisees. Those that brought the woman, they too have forsaken. And it tells us in verse 13 of chapter 17 of Jeremiah, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of the living water. Have written in the earth. What does Jesus do? He begins to kneel down, and he begins to write in the ground. Takes his finger and writes in the ground. What do you think he's writing? He could be writing a note of some sin that one of the Pharisees had committed, maybe completely away from Jerusalem, away from the temple, away from anybody. But he knew the sin, and he wrote maybe the woman's name that he committed that sin with. And then he wrote some other situation, an incident that happened with another one of the scribes. He wrote that in the dirt. And again, wrote another. And you know, as the Lord Jesus began to make this list, something's going to take place. Now, you're going to have to come back next time to find out, because we're out of time today. It's a joy to study the Word of God. But the greatest joy is to be saved and come to the Lord Jesus. So, my friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?